Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Can the Chiefs pick up 4th and 16 from their own 35? The Bengals have seven guys back at the first down marker. Mahomes stepping up, trying to buy time, moving to his left, scramble drill, pass off his back foot, incomplete, and it will be a flag thrown on the play! Hit in the back before the ball arrived was Rashi Rice. Dejon Anthony, a rookie out of Ole Miss, was in as a dime back. It's a 29-yard defensive pass interference penalty on a rookie DB in the dime package. Matt Ariza will be the holder. The ball is in the center of the field. James Winchester will snap it. The Chiefs are down 25-23 at 3 seconds to go in the game. It's the Bengals and the Chiefs. Why would you think it would be anything different than this? A 51-yarder officially to try to win it by Butker. 25-23 Cincinnati. Placement is down. Butker's kick. Leg through. It is high enough, and it is good! Kansas City! Harrison Butker, another clutch kick against the Bengals. And the Chiefs win it at the buzzer, 26-25. And the Chiefs go to 2-0 on the year.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Welcome in, Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here with you on a big Monday. The Chiefs survive again. I say survive. The Chiefs win again. That's not fair. Now wins over Baltimore and Cincinnati. If it was a toenail against the Ravens, it's a toenail again. It's a toenail again. They are barely. Sorry, but hey, it's two big wins.
It was Harrison Butker's toenail, to be honest.
Yeah. Every bit of it. There's so much to get to from that game, and we will, including some breaking news here off the top. What a big show we have for you today. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers producing. So we have that. We have KU in complete disarray, just absolute disaster in Lawrence to start this football season. K-State is catching a groove. We're going to have the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, in with us next segment to go through K-State's game. We'll have plenty on KU and, of course, now plenty on the Chiefs, the Royals, also with a series win over the weekend that we need to get to as well. It is a jam-packed show. The IHOP hotline is ready for you, and that is at 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP. And we appreciate their support of the show. We'll give away some HTO a little bit later in the show as well. All kinds of fun stuff for you. We'll get you ready for Monday Night Football a little bit later. But Tommy, we start with the Chiefs, as we typically do on a Monday. And as there are 1,000 different things to get into in that game, the breaking news just before we come out onto the air here is that, Isaiah Pacheco is going to be out for a while. And we were texting back and forth all the different things yesterday that we were taking away from the game to sort of, you know, give an idea of where we would go today. And I think I said at one point, like, all of this, the Isaiah Pacheco injury potentially worries me more than any of it. Worries me more than the bad play at left tackle. Worries me more than, you know, what's lacking on defense. Worries me more than the Hollywood Brown news. All of it. Isaiah Pacheco concerns me the most. And here we go. It's worse than I thought. There was a sliver of hope last night as you saw him back on the sideline celebrating and those things. But it sounds like he's going to IR. I don't know how much time you miss on a tibia. We'll get that. That'll trickle out today, but it's going to be a while. And you combine that with Hollywood Brown and the fact that we're going into week three and this offense we were all really, 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 really excited about becomes more and more, you know, I guess we could say flawed, although it's too early to say that definitively, but at least on paper than it would have been. And we're not even a quarter of the way through the season yet.
Yeah, I think fragile is a good word used to describe the way that things are looking, at least offensively for Kansas City moving forward. I'm not sure that there's a team in the NFL that is 2-0 right now that we feel probably as, concerned about than the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know it's because we're close to the organization, you know, more so than any other team. But yeah, this is a major blow. Isaiah Pacheco was the workhorse yesterday. He, you know, definitely was the feature guy. And I would argue the feature guy really with any skill position that the Chiefs had offensively, probably more so than even Rashee Rice. And I know Rice was, you know, pretty involved in the game yesterday. So this is a major blow with the fibula fracture that Pacheco suffered. And, you know, going on the IR means that he has to miss a minimum of four games, but yeah, I think conventional wisdom would tell us all that it's going to be more than that. I'm not sure exactly how long a fibula recovery is. I've seen speculation anywhere from 8 weeks to 10 weeks or something like that. And so then you look at the depth chart, and I know they like Carson Steele a lot, and I like Carson Steele too, but he's a rookie. He's an undrafted rookie. He put the ball on the turf yesterday, so that's one thing. They've got Samaje Perine. Of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on IR himself, or at least on the non-football list, injury list right now, the non-injury list. And so I don't think you can ride with that depth chart right now. I think that Brett Veach has got to be working the phones and figuring out what they can do, because, you know, you've definitely got a depleted depth chart basically with your skill position players right now.
The good news is it's the most attainable position in football. That's the good news. Isaiah Pacheco, though, it had become clear, if not in week one, in this game yesterday, they want to be a lot like they were last year. And that it surprises me a little bit, but it doesn't, because they lost Hollywood Brown, and probably because the defense has been a little better, at least bend don't break, not anywhere near what it was last year, but maybe a little bit better than I thought. They have some flaws that we can get into later in the show. But as you look at that position, you can replace that position. They may not need to replace much. They could always go find somebody and roll with, you know, the combination of Steele and Perine is sort of what Pacheco is, right? A thumper that is good in the pass game. And so I'm not as concerned about what they can do in any individual game plan necessarily, but I also don't think they're going to line up and hand the ball to Carson Steele 20 times in a game, at least not initially. And I don't think they would do that with anybody, by the way. Like, it's not just a Carson Steele thing. Carson Steele, we all like Carson Steele. This is why he's on the roster, right? The likelihood of a Pacheco injury, not a Pacheco injury to this severity, of course, you know, you little nicks and things like that. This is a significant injury. And here's the other thing. They get through these first two games, and they are, you know, as tough on the schedule as you're going to get between the Bengals and the Ravens. By the way, the Bengals are not a bad team. They're back. They looked good yesterday. They look fine. But you got the Falcons. You go to LA to take on the Chargers. You get all of a sudden the upstart Saints. Then you go to San Francisco to play the 49ers. Okay. And then you get a game against the Raiders. Take what you will from that. But then you get another one against Tampa. So that's all the way out to week nine. There is one game right now, and we'll see what Atlanta does tonight. There's one game on that schedule against a team that we didn't go into the season feeling like was a serious playoff contender, and that's the Raiders. And they're not bad, by the way. They're not. Look at what they did yesterday.
Yeah. So
Like the schedule will not let up at this point of the season. If there is any schedule relief for the Chiefs, and there's very little this season in general, it comes maybe a little later in the year, but it doesn't really come at all. So there's no time to breathe. And so when we look at the Chiefs in totality, we have to look at this. And the Pacheco injury worried me the most, not because they can't sustain that injury, because I think that they can, but it's because when we look at everything, they want to run the ball. They want to run the ball this year, right? They're not as explosive in the pass game yet, and maybe won't be without Hollywood Brown. They can't get left tackle to give Mahomes what he needs to become a high-octane passing game. That's another problem there. And so now you look at this, you're like, okay, well, can they still do what we saw them clearly want to do in that game? Time will tell. We need a little time to see. I don't know the answer to that question. We're going into week three, and Juju's been a non-factor in the passing game. So
Travis Kelce has been a non-factor in the passing game through 2 weeks.
That will change for sure. I think the biggest, like if you're a fantasy football player, the biggest beneficiary statistically to the Pacheco injury is probably Travis Kelce. And look, they're taking it slow with Kelce, and I don't disagree with that, but they may not have a choice now. Aaron asks us on Facebook, who do we think benefits the most? And again, this would be like from a fantasy perspective. With Pacheco out, Clyde, P. Ryan, or Steele. It's Steele, I think. I don't think they're going to line Samaje P. Ryan up and hand him the ball 15 times a game. That will be Steele. Now, P. Ryan will be more involved in the pass game than he would if Pacheco was there, because Pacheco is really good in the pass game. I don't know if Carson Steele's good in the pass game. I have no idea. We haven't seen that from him. I doubt it. I don't think they're going to try that. That's why they have P. Ryan on the team. But that, again, that limits the, you know, that limits the offense in that way, too. Like, you can't. Now our team's not afraid of a pass on first and second down if Steele's out there. But it's a big loss. But I think it'll be okay as long as he's back this season. Like as long as he's back and back to normal before the end of the year, the Chiefs are going to be okay. They just beat the Ravens and the Bengals, right? So all of the and it has not gone swimmingly so far for the Chiefs at all, and they just beat the Ravens and the Bengals. Like the Chiefs are very good, you know. I watched the NFL yesterday and try to guess at what's going to happen from week to week, and all that is teams as the 49ers go and lose to Minnesota, as you know, Baltimore struggles with the Raiders. I mean, you go up and down and up and down. The Chiefs are 2-0 against two Super Bowl contenders. So keep that in mind, too. Like, they just have to reinvent it again. And it's almost like you just are – you saw it in the Bengals game, Tommy. Like, they reinvented there. They're going to run the ball. They're going to look a lot like they were last year. And then Pacheco goes down. So now for a third time in 3 weeks, they almost have to try again. And I don't know what that looks like yet. It would be interesting to see it. But, I mean, it's a guess right now what that looks like.
Well, I do think that it puts the impetus back on the passing game, and that's going to be easier said than done. Going back to Aaron's question about who we think benefits the most with Pacheco out, I mean, I don't think it's Clyde. I'm not anticipating that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to really be a factor whatsoever this year for the Chiefs. I think Samaje Perine, they signed him with the intent to be kind of a change of pace type guy, not a workhorse. So probably Carson Steele, but I think probably more than any of those three will be somebody that we don't know yet. I think that they will. I think they have to go out and acquire a running back. And like you mentioned a few minutes ago, there are quite a few of them that are available. One guy that still remains unsigned, Jerick McKinnon, is out there. I'm sure that Brett Veach has probably already talked to him. And if you want to talk about pass catching out of the backfield, that's what he does. And so it wouldn't surprise me. Out of everybody else that is out there, out of all the veterans that are out there that they could possibly go and look at, and I know they have a couple of running backs on the practice squad, the easiest putt, I think, is for them to call a guy who is familiar with the offense and was on that team as recently as a season ago.
I think anything they do right now is strictly for depth. I think if they wanted McKinnon, they chose Perine over McKinnon anyway, so they've already made that decision, right? And I'd be fine with McKinnon coming in, don't get me wrong. But I think anything they do is depth. They kept Carson Steele for a reason. This is the reason, right? Get out there and go. And they brought Perine in over anybody else for a reason. Like, this is why they made those moves. And And I know you're annoyed at what they didn't do behind left tackle, but this wouldn't be that situation, right? This is, they did make moves in this, you know, for this exact thing. That's why Carson Steele's on this team. He looks like Pacheco when he runs the ball. That's why they bring in P. Ryan, because they know they need a pass catcher. So, you know, in the short term, and Austin says on YouTube, he thinks they'll be fine without him. I think they'll be fine without him. I don't think they'll be as good without him. And I hope I'm wrong, because the Carson Steele story is a fun one. And if you don't think, like, if you think that's outrageous, Isaiah Pacheco was a 7th round pick and did the same thing and came in and all of a sudden was a great rookie. So it's not even like out of the realm of possibility. It's not even a reach to say Carson Steele will come in and be effective. That's why he's here. Rick on YouTube says McKinnon's a 3rd down back, but they may need a 3rd down back, Rick, or at least another back to give him another weapon. McKinnon can do more than just be a running back too. They can line him up outside. They could do a lot of things. They'll do something. They need to. I don't know what it will be. I don't think it will be McKinnon, but it could be. That would make sense. But that's all there. Okay, so we got that breaking news off the top here with the Chiefs. We will get into everything else we saw in the Chiefs game against the Bengals. So that's coming up later in the show. We're going to get to KU, where the sky is very clearly falling. We'll have that later in the show. It was a good weekend for K-State, a really good weekend. Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, joins us next for his weekly visit. We'll look back at the game at Arizona, against Arizona, I should say, and we'll look forward to this week a little bit as well. Wyatt Thompson joins us next. We appreciate you being a part of the program. We appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here at KFH with a great cup of coffee. Glad to be here. Wild and crazy Monday. Buckle up. You can always go back and listen to anything you missed on the Odyssey app. We're coming right back. All Brockton Caster on Sports Day.
Your new radio home for K-State Athletics, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on Kansas State. Let's go now to the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you. Glad to be here. NFL football is available for free here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH tonight at 6:30 after the Chris Lamb Show for Monday Night Football, Falcons, Eagles. You can download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time. We are talking K-State now as we welcome in the voice of the K-State Wildcats. Big win over Arizona this past weekend as K-State gets it done. This was the big test. This was perhaps the biggest game of the weekend, and K-State sits here right where they want to be. After a handful of games, and I think, Wyatt, as we bring in here, we could easily say that was the best performance of the year for K-State, and that's what you want to see, right? 3 weeks in, and your best game comes in your last game.
Absolutely. Good to be on with you guys again. I think that's really probably what stands out the most. There are a lot of things, but you sit there at 3-0, and I think you have seen improvement from week to week so far. You look at offense, I think we've seen that. Defense, we've probably, for the most part, seen that. Certainly special teams after the other night with Dylan's punt return and some of the other things that happened. A couple of back-to-back physical games, you worry a little bit about, you know, where the team is. We've got some bumps and bruises, but I think as late as we play Saturday night, maybe everybody will be healthy by then. Who knows?
Wyatt, from a crowd perspective, I know that, you know, people get juiced up and excited for any home game in Manhattan. But for me, I wasn't there, but watching it on TV, it sure seemed like the, you know, Bill Snyder Family Stadium was rocking on Friday night. When was the last time you saw a crowd like that?
Well, we've been pretty fortunate here, to be honest with you, bud. We've had, what, 16 straight sellouts. And I think you go back to opening night and we talked, I think, the following Monday about, you know, just how juiced they were for that. But this was probably a little bit different level. We heard Coach Klieman say, you know, during his press conference that he thanked the fans and said it was as loud as he's ever heard it at what he calls the Bill. And many call it that now, of course. But they were really pumped up. I think they knew walking in it was Harley night. They knew they were facing a very, very fine offensive team after K-State struggled against a pass game the week before against Tulane. So there was a lot riding on this, and they were at I guess I'll call it a high level pitch. They were pretty juiced from the beginning, and I think it helped. You know, K-State was not perfect in the first half, and even I'm sure challenged again at halftime, much like Tulane. Different, but like that. And I thought they really responded in the second half with a great performance. The way the first half ended, it was kind of a downer, honestly. But man, what a way to get around it in the second half. I thought that was a superb performance.
It all starts and, you know, it ends right now anyway. And this is just us being silly because there's far more to it. But Avery Johnson's where we're all focused at the moment. Second half, especially, he looked his best. You know, he ran it 17 times in the game. I don't know that if K-State was being honest with you, they'd like to say they want to see him run it 17 times. But yeah, that's sort of what the game required at that point. And it's something we hadn't seen yet. And then we saw him become more comfortable as a passer. I think they go hand in hand. I think when he's able to slide around like that and take off, it makes him a better passer. And I think we did see that in the second half. And then all of a sudden, they put up 31 points. How much of that do you think continues? Again, I don't think they want to see him run it 17 times, but it's nice to know it's there if a game requires it.
I think that's exactly right. And I think you have to go back to it when you need that. And I think there were times the other night that that's exactly what was needed. I think they being Arizona, did a pretty darn good job for the most part against Giddens. They didn't really let him have a bunch of bigger runs. They know he's a workhorse. And obviously they were concerned about, you know, Avery. But I'm like you. I thought he probably played. I don't think I'm overstating this. Tell me what you guys think. But I think it was his most free and easy game of his career here so far. And yes, it's just, what, 10 or 11 games in. But he was letting it rip, both in the run game and the throw game. And I think everybody enjoyed it a lot. He's just an electric talent. You know what? I got to say this, too. One of the things that I was so impressed with when we talked to him in the radio post game, the end of the first half, he wore it. If you heard that, he said, and I think he said it in to the media after the game, too, that Coach Kleiman tried to take the blame for it, but that's on me. And I think that proves to you that, you know, how much he puts into this, he cares, and he's going to take his share when the blame's to be passed around too.
You know, Wyatt, coming off of the Tulane game, I think one of the biggest concerns, I guess, or one of the biggest talking points was the secondary and what the Wildcats defense would be able to do to slow down Arizona's passing game. And I think they did a pretty good job at that. And it really wasn't the secondary necessarily, but it was the Kansas State defense putting all kinds of pressure on Arizona's quarterback. That really seemed to be the recipe for success defensively on Friday night.
I think that's absolutely on task too, because I think all three levels played really pretty well. I think when you look at, you know, K-State's defense, they are continuing to play a lot of guys. And as those guys get more experience, and I don't just mean, you know, some of those kids that we've talked about getting first-time reps, like a Ryan Davis comes to mind as an example, but it's also, you know, guys that have had a little bit of experience, like a Chidi Obiizor and like a Austin Romaine, and some of I thought Austin played a terrific, terrific game, to be real blunt about it. I like their personnel, I like their depth, and I just felt like they won the game at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And I think Coach Kleiman chuckled when he said this too, but you look at Teteroa McMillan's numbers, and it was like a quiet 11 catches and 140 yards. And I think that's accurate. Don't you?
I mean, I there aren't very many teams that are going to slow him down this year.
No.
That's a dude that's playing on Sundays. That was just, I mean this without any ill will to the K-State defenders, but that's a men among boys in college football. Like he was outstanding, and there aren't many teams that are going to be able to defend some of the things he was able to do in that game. But I thought it was good, Wyatt, to see them, you know, that was happening. And then you look up and Arizona scored 7 points.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Fine. Like have yours. Right. But at the end of the day, like it didn't impact them as a whole. And I think when we watched the Tulane game, they looked just lost. They did not look lost in the game on Friday, like they did 6 days before that. They looked very much more comfortable. And I guess time will tell how good the Arizona offense stacks up in the league. But I think we think that's going to be a good offense. So certainly it's good to see them play that way defensively.
Yeah, you said a lot there. And I think I would try to augment that by saying, if you go back to the Tulane game, and I think I mentioned this last week, one of the issues that K-State had in the game was they allowed them to establish the run early. That was not the case here. Yeah. I mean, they never really got anything going. And just kind of crunching some numbers, K-State's done a really, really good job so far against the run for the most part. And when you can make a team, you know, pretty much one-dimensional, which is what I thought they did, it just puts so much more pressure on those guys to perform. Now, give Tetraoa McMillan, a couple of the plays he made are just crazy, guys. I'll tell you what I thought he was. I thought he was a 6'5" Jeremy Maclin kind of guy.
I mean,
he's big. He's big. I think he could be a top 10, top 15 kind of pick. He's that kind of talent.
I don't disagree with that. I thought he was great. Wyatt, let's look ahead to BYU. So BYU comes in. They're also 3-0. Southern Illinois, SMU, Wyoming, two of those are road games. Don't know what to make of it, but they're coming back home. It's a late night game. This is certainly one that I don't think you look forward to this one if you're K-State by any means, going to that place in a late night environment like that against a team who's usually good. I mean, I don't know how good, but they'll be good.
Yeah. They're certainly better than they were a year ago, I think, in most areas. I've watched their game against SMU. I watched their game the other night in Laramie. Didn't see as much of SIU in their opener, but I'll study that more as the week progresses here. But I think what we know that they are is a very big and physical football team. I don't know that necessarily they are going to match up with a lot of teams in this league yet, necessarily with speed, aside from their receivers. They've got some wideouts that can run a little bit. Cody Epps was a freshman All-American back in 2022 as an example, and he can scoot. But they are really big at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And I think they're better probably I think I said this at maybe not with you guys, but in a couple of other interviews, that I don't know that they got the respect or the run that they should have gotten with that win at SMU. That wasn't easy, and it wasn't necessarily pretty, but they got it done. If they run the ball, they can become pretty dangerous, I think. Retzloff's been okay. He's a little bit turnover prone, and they won that game and scored 34 the other night with their top two running backs out. But they, like K-State, they play a lot of guys, but K-State's got to handle the physicality, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm like you know, late night game, 9:30 at night, our time, in that environment, it will be difficult. Even if K-State plays great, I think you're going to have to take the fight out of them early, or at least try to.
Well, you know, Wyatt, from what I've been able to tell, just from the little bit I've watched BYU, I think the word that comes to mind is stingy. I mean, that's just kind of what they are there. And it might be different, probably will be different to an extent once, you know, obviously they'll be getting into conference play when the level of competition changes slightly. But they've given up defensively no more than 15 points. Yeah. In all the three games they've played so far this season, and especially that game against SMU, as you mentioned, knowing that makes it that much more important that we saw what we did from the offense from K-State against Arizona, not only with Avery, but seeing DJ Giddens have another really solid game, having Dylan Edwards, not only with the punt return, but he was effective running the football. Jace Brown had a long reception in the game. Also, to me, it's incredibly fascinating, going to be fascinating to see the way that, you know, this offense for Kansas State looks to be unlocked, taking on what could probably end up being a pretty stingy BYU defense.
Yeah. A couple of guys that I'd have you maybe watch for in this game.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tyler Batty up front, defensive end, is just an animal. I mean, 6'5 and 275, that's big even for the Big 12. And then their rover, Jack Kelly's also 6'2 and 240 and just is everywhere. I can't stress this enough with their toughness and physicality. That kind of mirrors what Kalani Sitake, their head coach, is all about. Are they good enough in some of the other areas? I think we'll find that out. But in a lot of ways, I'm right there with you that, you know, this is about K-State and continuing to take steps. I think they're excited about where they're at, and they realize that there's improvement to be made. Let's see if they can take it out onto the road again and be better than they were in Tulane and maybe more consistent. We talked the other night about, you know, getting off to a good start offensively. Well, this kind of went untalked about after the game, but after what Arizona did on that opening drive for K-State to go for it on fourth down early and then match that with a long drive of their own, that was a win, fellas. That was big time.
And do you just keep him up late this week, Wyatt? Like, are you like? I mean, what, you gotta like. You're gonna play that game at what is it, 9:30 kick time? Like that's
yeah. And it was funny last week at the press conference, right after that game time had been announced, when Coach Kleiman came in, he leaned over to me and he goes, "I'm glad we're not taping the TV show at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning when we get back anymore."
Golly,
and I kind of get it, you know. We are literally going to get back somewhere probably around 5 or 5:30 or 6 o'clock. It's just, it is what it is, and with that time zone and you know those four corner schools in, we're gonna have some of those. That's just the reality of it, and this will be the first test of it, I guess.
I love it. They got the national spotlight last week. They're going to get it again. I mean, everybody's staying up late. You know, you're sitting around watching. It's another chance for them to get into that. One last thing, Wyatt, we haven't talked about it. Dylan Edwards, everybody called for more touch. He got it. He got it. And I know he had the punt return, but even more than that, he was certainly more of a factor in the offense. And I think something we will absolutely continue to see.
I have to say this because I've said it about Avery. I'm going to say it about Dylan, too. I've been so impressed with the way he has handled this stuff. He gets a lot of attention, but he's a humble young guy. He works really, really hard at his craft. I think he even talked about that, you know, in the post game about how many, you know, punts he and Sterling field every day in practice. He just brings a different, I'll call it sizzle to the steak, right? I mean, he's just elite in a lot of ways. It was great to see him break out some. And I don't know if you guys remember the one run where he busted about three tackles too. And that, to me, that said a lot about his want to and just desire to be a really, really fine player. He and Avery are a lot alike in a lot of ways. And I think in specifically in that case, he plays hard and he's tough. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. And he, all of a sudden you blink and he's in the open field and exactly. You're toast if you're the defense. All right, Wyatt, so it's a 9:30 kick. How does that work for you guys on the broadcast Saturday
well,
night?
Well, odd time, of course. We go 2 hours out. We'll start at 7:30. We'll feature, of course, like what always with Coach Kleiman and the coordinators and probably a couple of players and a look at a busy day in the Big 12. This will be a entertaining week in the league when you think about Utah and Oklahoma State and Stillwater and, you know, some of those kind of games. So I think we'll have I know there'll be a lot of games on, people will be watching, but kind of have us on in the background and stay with us as long as you can. Hope everybody can hang in there. Hey, it's K-Staters. They're probably going to be okay with that.
They'll be up. They'll be up just fine. All right.
Wyatt, up in time to watch the Chiefs, right?
That's right.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. We're going to be in good shape. It'll be a late night of football, but hey, we'll get to watch it. There's nothing to distract you from it.
Exactly
Wyatt,
right.
Travel safe. May still be a little groggy when we talk to you next Monday, but that's all right. We'll get there.
Oh yeah. It's not like I'm digging ditches, brother. I love
there
it.
There you go.
Let's do it.
Love it. There's Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats. I tell people all the time, I could be digging ditches, I guess. You know, whenever I want to. I love that. All right. So there's that. If you missed any of that with Wyatt Thompson, I mean, you got to be cloud nining it right now if you're a K-State fan. They looked really, really, really good on Friday against a really good team. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. You can chime in on that. So we'll come back and we will get back to the Chiefs. KU fans, top of next hour. We want to make sure we have plenty of time to dig in on KU. So we'll come back. We hit on Isaiah Pacheco. What about what we saw in the game other than that in the Chiefs win against the Bengals? They get one from Burrow, and it was almost another, you know, sticky note on the Burrowhead poster board, but it didn't, and they get the win. We'll come back. We'll talk about it. It's Sports Daily. It's Albrecht and Caster. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Want to tell you a little bit about Pepin Suter Remodeling. Now as part of the program, Pepin Suter Remodeling, Pepin and his crew did our remodel, our kitchen remodel. They're now proud supporters of the program, which we couldn't be happier about. I said this a little bit last week. It was, I think, Tommy, the thing that I appreciated the most was the care for our home that they took. I appreciated that their bid came in significantly lower than their peers. I appreciate the work that I had seen them done and the good references we had on them. But more than anything, I appreciate the care they took for our family to let us continue to try to live through a kitchen remodel. They put fake countertops in for us. They moved our refrigerator into the living room for us. They cleaned up at the end of every day. And if you've ever been through something like that, that does not always happen. And they did a fantastic job and have followed up and made sure everything was okay. We love it. We're so happy with it. And we got a great deal. If you would like to get in touch with Pepin Suter, he does remodeling, kitchens, bathrooms, all of those things. You can go to the website. That's PEPIN SUTER, Pepin Suter, or you can give him a call. That number, 316-573-6822, 316-573-6822, Pepin Suter Remodeling. Glad to have him as supporters of the program and thankful they did a great job on our kitchen as we are now through that and ready to rock and roll with it. All right, Tommy. So we touched on the Chiefs and KU fans, not to worry. It is front of mind what's been going on there in KU. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. We're saving that for the top of the hour. Let's go back to the Chiefs briefly because we really kind of exclusively went to Pacheco. I think, Tommy, all things considered, you've beaten the Ravens, you've beaten the Bengals. Bengals looked good, much better than they did in week one. You feel good about that. But there are concerns, I think, long-term. Kingsley Suamataia was flat dominated in that game. Wanya Morris, who caught a touchdown, needs to start the next game. They need to see what they've got in Wanya Morris. That doesn't mean they're, you know, giving up on Kingsley Suamataya. It means he's not ready yet. And let's see what Morris has in the tank. I like Wanya Morris. Always have. I want to see what I thought he would win the job anyway. So let's see what he's got there. And the tight end defense is a problem now. The Bengals don't throw to tight ends. The Bengals have never thrown to tight ends. And they made it look like they'd been doing it for years and years and years. They have to fix that, too.
Yeah, I saw somebody on social media mention that, you know, right now the Chiefs defensively are making every quarterback look like Lamar Jackson and every tight end look like Rob Gronkowski. And so that, I mean, that's a little bit of it. I mean, Joe Burrow is typically not a guy that is going to be super mobile, you know, but he was a little bit more mobile, I think, than typically you would like to see him be. And then same thing with, you know, all three of the tight ends that the Bengals put out there. I mean, credit to Zach Taylor. At one point, I'm sure that he thought, hey, if the Chiefs are going to not be able to defend our tight ends, then let's double down on that or let's triple down on that. And that's exactly what they did. Going back to the offensive line, specifically left tackle. Yeah, Kingsley Suamataya looked like a rookie yesterday. He absolutely did. He was, like you mentioned, and I agree with you, flat out dominated by Trey Hendrickson. I think some of it, though, is that I think that's got to fall on the coaching staff, specifically Andy Reid, because they never helped him out.
Got him out of
you know, like that. It wasn't just, I mean, eventually they pulled him out, but they never chipped. Like, you got to put another person out there to help him if you're going to keep him in the game. And that never happened. And so
here's the problem with that moving forward, though, back to the Pacheco injury. If Kelsey's going to be needed more in the passing game, that potentially.
Yeah.
Takes away that help.
I get it. But when you're seeing it constantly over and over and it's right, clear as day, it was like everybody watching that game knew that Suamataya was not able to handle Trey Hendrickson. And the Chiefs, you know, offensively, at least from a coaching perspective, didn't do anything to help him until it was a point to where he got beat one at one point, and then he had a huge holding penalty or hands to the face or whatever it was that had the call, you know, come back on that long pass and catch to Travis Kelce, and then they pulled him out of the game. So, look, like I was critical of the Chiefs' inactiveness addressing left tackle in the offseason outside of the draft. And you know, at this point, I still think you need to see, like you mentioned, what they have in Wanya Morris moving forward. But let's just say that he goes in the next game and it's not much better. At that point, what do you do? The Chiefs were really, they kind of sat on their hands when it came to trying to find a way to upgrade at that position.
Yeah. And we didn't totally agree on that because I do think the draft capital they spent is a significant investment. You know, I think at the time they thought
long term investment,
right? At the time they thought they were going to have Niang as well. That hasn't happened. So like, they've still got options. They can put Wanya Morris there. That's the first try. Let Suamataya have another chance would be the second try. I think you can slide Juwan Taylor over as a third try, or as maybe a desperation move, maybe you can try out Joe Tooney out there. I think they have a lot of internal options still. And did Donovan Smith ever even sign anywhere? I don't think he did.
I don't think so. He's out there, I believe.
I mean, you've got, they have lots of options that they had. So you either believe in the player or you don't. And Chiefs do with Suamataya. And they do with Wanya Morris. What was he, a third round pick? So they invested a lot in these two guys.
He's a second round pick, Suamataya.
So, yeah.
Is.
So, No. Wanya.
Third round pick.
So you've invested a lot of draft capital in those two guys. Let them work through it. They got Suamataya got dominated in that game. That happens, right? He didn't get dominated in week one. He had flashes and he had some down moments too. But yeah, you got to. I mean, look, Mahomes only threw it 25 times. Even if you take away Mahomes's carries, his four carries, they still ran the ball more than they threw the ball yesterday. They're telling us what they want to do on offense, which is not what I thought. But again, we thought they'd have a little more firepower there. I don't know if that continues. I also don't know if that's because they don't trust left tackle. Like, it's been really fascinating to watch them on offense. And of course, Mahomes is turning the ball over, which can't happen either. But they also beat the Bengals. So Were you good with the pass interference call? I know people were whining about that. It was clearly pass interference.
Absolutely pass interference. Yeah. You can't be put in a situation like that. Should have never, the Bengals should have won that game. Get away from it and bat the ball down at that point.
Survival.
But, yeah.
And in the end of the, at the end of the day, the Chiefs probably need that because there are going to be games that go the other way on them where it's like, oh, I'm glad we got that one. As the dust settles, I don't think anybody's going to challenge in the division, although the Chargers are Harbaughing very well, like we thought they might. We'll keep our eye on it. The schedule is brutal for the Chiefs. We'll have a ton more. We may have more on this, by the way, in the second hour. But when we come back, we are going to get into KU. KU fans, here we go. I don't know that anybody's angrier at the Jayhawks right now than Tommy is. We'll walk through it all. We'll look ahead. We'll go through the challenges, what can be done. Here we go. Sports Daily, your calls on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240, are welcome on it. Your comments on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, and X. We have lots of those, of course, on 12 News Connected Plus as well. We'll come right back. KU Talk next on Sports Daily.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.